Prayed that if we need to be convicted, the Lord would do that. What was the other thing you prayed? Convicted or something. Anybody remember what else he said? I had it in my mind back there, but then when I get up here, it goes blank. Encouraged. Okay. So hopefully this will be both encouraging and convicting. What I'm finding, the more you learn, the more you're responsible for it. So it's like when you open up the scriptures, if you start studying it and you're trying to say, well, I'd like to apply these things in my life, then the Lord brings things into your life so that you can apply those scriptures that you've been learning. So this is what we're going to talk about this morning. And hopefully it'll be an encouragement to you. Hopefully it'll be, I guess it would be a prayer to be convicted by it, to put yourself out there. If you're learning something, then God wants you to grow from it. And you're not going to grow unless you put yourself out there and you make yourself available. So let's make ourselves available and just see what God does in our lives. I was telling Neil the topic that we're going to talk about this morning is one that, so from personal experience, so I'll get into that as we go through the message. But I was like, well, I'm learning so many different things in classes, like it's just topic after topic. So that's what we're going to be going through as I'm able to speak, different topics that I'm learning in class. And what I find interesting in is from the class standpoint is from a secular viewpoint. They're looking at it as if man came up with the concepts. And I'm like, well, verse came to my mind about this, verse came to my mind about that, these topics that I'm learning in these classes. So that's what y'all are going to look at and learn from, is from a biblical point of view, these topics that I'm learning in classes. And again, as you learn them, well, what does God want me to do with this knowledge that I'm receiving? How does he want me to react, to respond, to grow? And that's what we're going to talk about this morning. So this morning we're going to look at being vulnerable. When we are vulnerable, then it opens us up for two things, I believe. One of them is testing and one of them is temptation. So we want to say, well, I want to be vulnerable so that God can use me and he can bring me through different things and he can show himself strong so that he can get the glory from it. Well, when we say, well, I want to be vulnerable, then we're going to open ourselves up to testing from God and temptation from our enemy, the devil. And we're going to talk about that a little bit more as we go through these slides. So what does it mean to be vulnerable? It simply means to be weak or without protection. And that means to be susceptible, capable, able to be, and at risk. So we think about vulnerable populations. We hear that a lot in our society. Well, what's a vulnerable population? Well, it could be the young people, it could be the elderly, and our society today wants to push another community, which would be the LGBTQIA+, whatever. So they would say that they're a vulnerable population because of what conservatives and Christians are doing to them, which we're not doing anything, we're just trying to do biblical truth. So this is what vulnerable means. It means to be weak or without protection. And again, immediately when we think about these things, we think about the children and we think about the elderly as they get older. As we get older, I'm not elderly yet, sometimes I feel like it, but as we do get older, we become more vulnerable. We're not as strong, we're not as cognitive in our minds as we used to be, so we become vulnerable. That's why so many people prey on the elderly, that's why so many people prey on the children, because they are vulnerable. So each person will at some point in our lives be in a state of vulnerability. It is important that we are prepared as much as we can be for such times when we are vulnerable. So it's not saying that we're walking around, we're just being vulnerable. It just means that at some point in our life, we're going to be vulnerable. Not necessarily something that we're doing to make ourselves vulnerable. It's just going to be a state of mind. It's going to be some kind of reaction. It's going to be something that happens in our lives that make us vulnerable to certain things. So vulnerability is weakness, but it's not necessarily sin. Vulnerability can make us susceptible to sin, the temptation that comes, and we fall for that temptation. But weakness in and of itself, I mean, vulnerability is not in and of itself sin. In being vulnerable, a believer becomes aware of how corrupt the flesh is, mentally, emotionally, physically, and even spiritually. These are times of vulnerability, and there are pathways for testing and temptation. So being vulnerable is also an opportunity for relationship building, and we're going to talk about that as we go through it. So one aspect, when you think about vulnerability, you think about weakness. But there's another aspect of vulnerability that a lot of times we don't look at it, and that's when we're up on the mountain and a lot of pride can come into our lives because we're doing so well. that's a point of vulnerability as well, because we've taken our eyes off the Lord and we're looking at ourselves and we think that we're doing it in our strength. So there's two forms of that. Vulnerability could be when you're sick, a tragic event in your life, whatever it is, but it also could be that time when you just think everything's going right and you got your chest puffed out and all of this. That's a time of vulnerability as well. But we most often connect it with being weak and something tragic going in our lives. So what's the reason for a message on vulnerability and relation to temptation and testing? Well, a lot of my messages come from personal experience, and whether y'all like it or not, that's what you're going to get this morning. So I'm going to be vulnerable in telling you what brought forth this message, and hopefully that's going to be an encouragement to you to keep your eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ and keep focused and keep pursuing Him. I don't know why I drink coffee on Sunday mornings. All right, so I've had a few weeks to think about what transpired over two weekends in a row. So I'm going to try and share it with you. Matt said, you're going to cry about it. But I'm going to try my best not to cry over this. Because it's actually, I mean, it's positive. It's something that has just caused me to worship the Lord even more. I mean, it's just been something, I guess, the 2 weeks of going through it was, I guess, I don't know how I would, I'm trying to think of a word. I guess it brought me to my knees and shook me to my core, I guess I would say. But the end result is I just find it fascinating how it transpired and what it's done to bring forth this message and stuff. So a couple of weekends ago, I had a nervous breakdown, but I had a breakdown. And if you want to know more about it, I'll probably have to cry while I'm telling you about it, but Samantha can tell you as well. I'm not going to go into all the details on it, but it was... You ever heard a song and it just triggers a memory? Good or bad, it just triggers a memory. So it was a song that came onto a movie. I don't remember the name of the movie. It was Tom Hanks. He was in it. Movie's going good. It's got a good theme and all of this. At first, I was a skeptic. Oh, this movie ain't going to be no good. But it was pretty good. And then it came to almost to the end of the movie. And then an event happened in the man's life. And he was remembering what had taken place. And a song was playing. I said, I wasn't going to do that. So it triggered in my mind a past event when I was 17 years old. A lot of y'all know my testimony, so you know where I'm going with it. And I could not control myself. I just could not break from that. So this was Friday evening. Samantha don't know what's going on. So I'm sitting there like this in my comfortable recliner. The song's playing, and I'm crying. She's looking like, what in the world? So I think in her mind, she started understanding a little bit. So it took from Friday evening to Saturday evening, for me to reconcile in my mind what was going on. I mean, it was, I guess, the worst state I've ever been in. So the Lord got me through that. And, you know, I was, I guess, on cloud nine after that. I was like, I've learned concept in classes. Most of y'all know that I'm a mental health coach. I had to do it for my own personal well-being anyway. And I've helped Samantha go through some things that she's gone through and deal with issues. But one of the courses that I took was on grief counseling, grief coaching, helping people to process grief, whatever the grief is from. It could be the death of a spouse, loss of a job, disability. You know, we all respond to tragedy in our life through a grief process. And I started realizing that from 17 years old to 45, I had never processed that grief. Not properly. And one of the ways you can process your grief is to write it out. To write a letter. So Saturday morning, I'm crying. I go out and feed the animals, and I'm crying. I'm like, what in the world? Y'all thinking, oh, that's just normal for him. This was worse than what y'all see on Sunday mornings and all of that. I mean, this was like, I can't get this thought out of my mind. I have to deal with this. I learned in class to write, you can tell somebody to do a journal or to write a letter or something. If you lost a job and you don't know why and you're grieving over that process, you can write it out, what you're going through. So I think it was like 3 pages. It was front and back. I think it was 3 pages. And I wrote a letter, just pouring out my heart. I was praying the entire time, but just writing it out. I was like, well, I'm going to let my wife read that. I wasn't going to say that. I wrote it to the one that caused the trauma 17 years ago, the one that's no longer here. So I knew I wanted my wife to read that so she could understand what has made me a wreck for so many years. I actually did need that time, so we'll be all right. So I wrote her a letter explaining everything to her, how I was feeling, what was going on. Because at 17, there was somebody else in my life that we dealt with that. So I wanted her to know that what I was going through was not because of the girl at age 17, it was because of the loss. So I wrote her a letter, and I think yours was 2 pages long. So then I gave them to her. I was like, I want you to read these. Read this one first and then read this one. So we had our moment. She read, and you know, all of our emotions came out. We dealt with all of that. So like I said, Saturday evening did pretty good. Sunday morning I came here and worshiping, fine. I was like, Lord's helped me to deal with it. Hopefully I can start talking about it without breaking down every single time. I'm getting better at that. Had a conversation with Abby, let her know what was going on because she can see. So I was like, this is what's going on. This is why. And was able to give her some life lessons of why she needs to wait till she's married. And hopefully that's giving y'all understanding of what took place when I was 17. So good conversations. I was on cloud 9. Fast forward to Sunday afternoon after that. A week later, so it's the next Sunday. I think it was, she actually did it about 11. We was here when I got the message, but I didn't read it till I got home because I didn't want to deal with it. My past caught up with me from when I was 17 years old. Out of the blue, my ex-girlfriend texted me, messaged me from Facebook, and the first line was she had been thinking about the loss of our baby. And I was like, what in the world? Where is this coming from? I hadn't had any contact with her since me and Samantha first got married, and she ran into my mom, and my mom said she wants to write you a letter. I said, Samantha, are you okay with that? Samantha said, yes, I am. I got the letter, read the letter with my wife in front of me. I said, are you okay with me writing back to her? She said, yes. So I wrote her back a letter sharing the gospel, how the Lord has saved me since me and her have been together, all of that. That was the last contact I had from her, and out of the blue, the weekend after I had my breakdown, she messaged me, and the first line was about what had happened to us in the past. Now, I say all of that because you're vulnerable. I was still in a vulnerable moment. Anything could have happened. My first thought was, I know biblical answers now. I can encourage her. But I didn't read the other paragraphs below that message. I didn't focus on that. I focused on what she had just said in that first paragraph because that was grabbing my heart. I wanted to minister to somebody that was going through a lot of what I was going through. So I was talking to Samantha, and I was talking to a dear brother of mine, and I was like, what do you think? What should I do? They gave me good input. And then Samantha was like, did you read the rest of that message? And I was like, yeah. And then she's like, did you really read it? And I was like, well, I have to go back and read it. And I went back and read it, and I was like, oh, okay. So she said some other things that she shouldn't have said relating to me and her, and Samantha read all of it. So I told the dear brother about it too, and he was like, he didn't tell me to, but there's a movie, that, and the guy says, abort, abort, and he makes a little noise with him as abort. So that's basically what this brother told me to do was, You know, and my thought was, I can send her scripture, I can say I'm praying for you, I can minister to her, which is what I want to do as a believer's minister to people. Samantha's saying, do not do that. So what did I do? I deleted the message. I did pray for her, and I moved on. So the whole point of that, and hopefully that's not confusing, but when you're in a vulnerable state, you're not clear in your mind, you have to have somebody that you can go to and you can talk to and you can share with so that they can see things that you can't see in that moment. You're just not really focused on things. So we'll continue on. Was that good enough? Samantha said it wasn't good enough, but we'll just have to go with that. So that's where this message is coming from. Vulnerability makes you open for a lot of different things, but we want to be vulnerable because that's how we process and we deal with issues of life. All of us are going to struggle through something. It's how we handle these things. God tests us because He wants us totally dependent upon Him. The devil wants us to fall and stumble and fall on our faces and never glorify God in anything that we do. So you've got that battle going on. But when we are vulnerable, we want to make sure that before those vulnerable moments, we are prepared. We have done what we can do to see things in a biblical picture. So why does the devil use our moments of vulnerability as an opportunity for temptation? And I just answered that. Because He wants us to stumble. He wants us to fall. He wants us to shake our fists at God and say, why did you allow this to happen? He wants us to question things. And I've got some verses. You can just read them with me. I don't have them up on the screen. But 1 Peter 5:8, your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. Now, Peter is talking to believers, and he's saying that this is the goal of the devil. He wants to destroy all of God's creation, really, but particularly Christians, because we're representing the Lord Jesus Christ. In Luke 22:31, Christ says, Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. So I found this interesting, and I never picked up on it because I don't usually read the King James, but King James normally has the these and the thous, and that's for singular, and then you and yours for plural. In this situation, Christ is talking to Peter, and he's saying, Satan has sought to sift you like wheat. But he uses the word you in the King James, so he's talking to Peter, but he's saying this about all believers. So this is the goal of the devil. So Satan's desire since his first sin has been to destroy God's creation. He can do no more than God allows him to, and that should be a cause for us to be at peace no matter what we go through. So again, the devil, his whole reasoning for tempting us is to make us stumble and not look to the Lord Jesus Christ. So why does the Lord use our moments of vulnerability as an opportunity for testing? And we'll just read a couple of verses. In Romans 1:17, it says, for in it, the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. So one concept of it is that as He's testing us, He wants us to live by faith, totally focused on Him. Romans 8:29 and 1 Corinthians 15:49 reminds us of the end result of salvation, that is to be image bearers of the Lord Jesus Christ. So that's the whole point of this process of being a believer in sanctification, is to make us more into the image of our Savior. Proverbs 17:3, the refining pot is for silver and the furnace for gold, but the Lord tests the hearts. So again, the Lord wants us to see that our flesh is weak, the Spirit is able, but we have to walk by faith and not by sight. And not by our feelings, not by our emotions. I guess to go back to that, what took place those two weekends, and to make that clear, is I didn't have any temptation to say, well, I want to be with her again because of the emotional tie that we have together, the connection that we have together. I had no thought about anything trying to get with her again or anything like that. It was the emotional tie of the grief that we had experienced, the trauma that we had experienced when she was 16 and I was 17. So, but from that, you're opening yourself up to where it could be a temptation. So I'm glad that I had my wife, and I'm glad that I had that brother that I could talk to. Not that I was tempted to go back and try and reconnect with her, but in trying to minister to her, that could have opened up a door, making me susceptible to temptation. So we want to stand victorious against the temptation. We want to stand victorious at the end of the test. I got exams coming up in a few weeks. I want to make sure that I pass those tests. How do you pass a test? You're studying. You're preparing. You're getting your mind focused. If it's an agility test, like you're a police officer or something like that, then you're training. You want to make sure that you're going to pass that test. In our case, it's not about how much we can do on our own. It's about are we going to keep our faith and our focus on the Lord Jesus Christ. So how can we do so? And this is just some practical things. Romans 14:4, to his own master he stands or falls, indeed he will be made to stand, for God is able to make him stand. Again, that focus is not on me and what I can do. It's on the Lord Jesus Christ. You can turn to Ephesians chapter 6. We will read some verses from there. All right, we're going to jump in at verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of and the power of his might. Put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil, the temptations that come. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armor of God so that you will be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything to stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. In addition to all, taking up the shield of faith with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. With all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. And with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. So, thinking about these verses that we just read, and look at how much action is within these passages right here. Standing firm, that's something that you do. Take up, again, that's something that you do. Taking the helmet of salvation, praying. It's so important that we see that there is an action that we can do to prepare ourselves for the test that the Lord brings us through and the temptation that the devil tries to put upon us. But there are ways that we can be prepared, and none of it has to do with our flesh. So we need to get rid of our thinking that, well, I have the strength within myself to be able to stand against the devil and to pass the test that the Lord's going to bring me through. Because that's not the case. It's all about what the Lord does for us. It's about the Spirit who indwells us. It's about activating that faith according to the Word of God and walking by that faith. So we want to stand victorious against temptation, and we want to stand victorious at the end of the test. Again, how can we do so? I think the Lord gives us an example in these passages that we have up on the screen. I'm not going to ask you to turn to them. I've got them printed out. And I'm not going to read all of them. I'm just going to go through what the Lord did in these passages. So this is when he's in his 40 days of temptation. He's fasting and he's praying, so he's not eating. And then the devil is tempting him the entire time. So you'll notice in Matthew chapter 4, verse 1, that Jesus was led up by the Spirit, but he was also filled with the Spirit. The devil tempted him for 40 days while he was there and while the Lord was fasting. How did the Lord respond to the temptations of the devil? He said, "It is written." The devil came at him again. The Lord said, "It is written." The devil came at him again. And he said, "It is written again." The devil came at him again. And the Lord Jesus said, "It is written." Then it says that the devil left him. So the devil tempted him in every way possible, and yet the Lord never sinned. So the question is, are we capable of doing that as believers? And the answer is yes. Because what the Lord Jesus Christ shows us in these passages is how to live the Christian life. So when the Lord Jesus Christ came on this earth, did he live as God? No. He being God, set aside his glory and became a man. He humbled himself to be a man. So what did he show us in these passages? He showed us in these passages how to live the Christian life in total dependence on the Holy Spirit and God's Word. This is how we're supposed to live the Christian life. So in these passages that we have the three different accounts of it. We've got Matthew, Mark, and Luke. So in these, there's four S's that I think about. You've got the Savior, you've got Satan, you've got the Spirit, and you've got Scripture. So in order for us to stand against the devil, stand against Satan, we have to be filled with the Spirit. We're indwelt by the Spirit, but Paul says to be being filled with the Spirit. Be being empowered by the Holy Spirit. And then we have to have the Scriptures, the Word of God within our minds and within our hearts. That's how we stand against these temptations, and that's how we pass the test. So how can we do so? It's to be prepared. Again, we gave some examples and we looked at those. We can read, we can study, we can meditate upon and speak Scripture. I don't think we speak Scripture enough. Something occurs in our lives and we might pray, but God, through the Holy Spirit, is bringing up Scripture within our minds. How often do we speak it? I think it's good for us to start speaking the Word of God when we're going through things. I'm not talking about name it and claim it situations. I'm talking about when the Holy Spirit gives you a verse of Scripture and you're going through something because you're vulnerable, just speaking Scripture, speaking truth out in the open. Be continually filled with the Spirit. This means to be independent upon His presence and power. He's always indwelling the believer, but He's not always leading us because we have this battle that's raging within us. So we have to be in total dependence upon Him. And the last thing that we can do is rest in the Savior. If we give in to temptation and we don't pass that certain test that the Lord is bringing through this vulnerability that we're in, the Lord Jesus Christ is still there with us. He never leaves us. He never forsakes us. He's never going to cast us out of His presence. We're always with Him. So it causes us to come back to Him and to rest in what He is and what He's done for us. So a few other ways to be prepared: prayer, having intimate conversations with God, confession. And remember, this is not asking for forgiveness or anything like that. This is just being in agreement with something. So sharing with someone in confidence your struggles, the sin that so easily ensnares you, be open and honest. And this is what I did with Samantha. I poured out my heart to her. I poured out my emotions to her. I let her experience what I was going through, what I had been holding back for all of those years. And I would say that it's brought our relationship even closer. I mean, we've been married for 24 years. Can you get any closer than 24 years of marriage? Well, Neil's been married longer than I have, so can you get closer within your marriage as you go through different things? Absolutely. But we have to be vulnerable and say, hey, this is what I'm going through, and I really need you as my spouse, as my helper, whatever title you want to give to your spouse. But that's how we grow in our connection. So whoever you're confessing to, of course, we're going to confess to God. We're going to agree with God. This vulnerability, what I'm going through, I cannot handle this. I need for you, God, to be with me and empower me to get through these things. But the people that we're talking to, make sure it's a person that is empathetic. And me and Samantha were talking about that, was what does empathy mean? A lot of times we got this concept that it's somebody who's gone through similar things that we've gone through. And that's one definition of it. The other definition of empathy is that somebody that is willing to get down in the trenches with you. So they're willing to take on your emotions of what you're experiencing. They don't understand, they can't comprehend, but they're willing to sit there with you and experience what you're going through as much as they can. So they need to be empathetic, they need to be trustworthy, they're not going to go out and gossip or anything like that, and they need to be non-judgmental. And what this means is, when you're vulnerable, again, that doesn't mean that you're in sin, that just means that you're vulnerable, you're in a weak state of mind, emotions. You could be weak physically, whatever it may mean. But being non-judgmental means that they're not looking at you as if, oh my goodness, I would never be like that. I cried because my lizard died. People would say, there ain't no way I'm going to cry over a lizard. But they'll cry over their cat, they'll cry over their dog, they'll cry over their rabbit or something like that. So it's all in perspective, but come at it from a non-judgmental point of view. I'm not saying that you're saying all your sins okay, because again, vulnerability is not sin. Last thing is, remember that every one of us goes through temptation and testing. We are not unique. 1 Corinthians 10:13, no temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. What that does for me is to know that I'm not special in the sense that God has just really let me have it. All of us are going to go through something, and it's going to make us vulnerable. So we're not unique in that. The temptation that comes in our lives, we're not unique in those temptation episodes. we don't have to give in to them, though. I think it's the book of Hebrews talks about the Lord Jesus Christ. He was tempted in every way that we were, except he didn't sin. He didn't give in to it. So we don't have to give in to the temptations that they come. So again, going back to those few weeks ago, what did I do? Well, I prayed. I confessed or confided in two individuals, my wife and another brother and a brother. I remembered that what led me to the vulnerable state of mind is not unique to me, and I thank the Lord for giving me a way of escape. Again, I was not tempted to have any relation with her. I was tempted to minister to her from what I knew from Scripture and what I had experienced myself, but that could have led me down a road to sin. So we have to be very careful. So God is spirit, the devil is spirit, our battle is spiritual. But it's manifested a lot of times within the physical. Matthew 26:41, watch and pray lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing. This is our new nature that he's talking about. But the flesh is weak. So if we take our eyes off of the Lord Jesus Christ, that's when we are vulnerable to a state of temptation. And that's when we can give into that and start to sin. Ephesians 6:12, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of the wickedness in the heavenly places. So again, there's a spiritual battle that's going on, and it's raging even right now. We could even say that it's raging within this room, trying to keep us from hearing the Word of God and applying the Word of God within our lives. So there's always this battle going on, but a lot of times we get focused on the material thing, the physical thing that's going on. We need to be understanding that it's a spiritual battle. A believer has no strength in the flesh to successfully fend off temptation or to pass the test. We need the Spirit. I was reading, I think it was in 1 Corinthians, I can't remember. But it was talking about the Lord, how he uses the weak things, the base things, to show himself strong. I don't think I have it up here. I can't remember. But where Paul was praying for the thorn in the flesh to be taken away from him, three times he prayed, and the Lord said, I'm not going to take it away from you, but I'm going to show myself strong through your weakness. And we see what he did in Paul's life. So we don't need more of the flesh, we need more of the Spirit. An unbeliever has no power within to overcome temptation, to respond appropriately to the test. You need new spiritual birth. So again, winning this war that we're in cannot be done in the flesh, whether you're a believer or an unbeliever. An unbeliever needs to be saved so that they can experience the power of God. And a believer just needs to stay focused on what the resources that he has because he's a believer. So as has been stated, vulnerability isn't in itself a sin. It's an opportunity for spiritual growth. Again, thinking about those few weeks ago. And just how much it's really just caused me to start thinking about the things that have gone on, how to process things within my life, and to be more in tune to what the Spirit wants to do. God wants to test us, but he's given us the capability, he's prepared us, if we are following what the Scriptures say, to pass the test that he puts in our lives. He wants us to pass the test. He wants us to be more like Christ. He's given us these abilities. In our weakness, the Lord shows himself to be strong. I think that was a verse I was talking about, 2 Corinthians 12:9. So remember, God tests, Satan tempts. God is not one that can be tempted, and he doesn't tempt us to sin. So any time that we're tempted, we always have to say it's either from the devil doing it, and James talks about we're tempted of our own, how's it phrase that? Of our own lust. We're tempted by that. So we conjure up the temptations. Satan puts the temptations within our lives, but we don't have to give in to them. So trials and tribulations and trauma, we've all experienced those in some way. They'll make us more dependent upon the Lord, or they'll make us defiant. Even as believers, the trials and tribulations and trauma that we go through is either going to make us yearn for more of God, or either it's going to make us pull back from God and say, why did you allow this to happen in my life? Believers can get bitter. We can go through some trauma that we don't comprehend, we don't understand. And in that moment of weakness, the temptation is to pull back from God, to blame God, to be bitter or whatever it is. So again, the trials, tribulations, and trauma is not necessarily sin. It's how we respond to these things. It's a test from God, and it's a temptation from the devil. How we respond makes it either a blessing from God or a sin that we fall into or we give ourselves to. And that is it. I'll open it up to the men for discussion. Okay. So hopefully this is a convicting message to always be aware of your surroundings, whether whatever it is that we're going through, to be prepared that something's going to happen in our lives. It's going to make us vulnerable in how we respond to those things. It's going to be a test. It's going to be a temptation in how we respond to these things. And think about your audience who's watching us, how we respond to things. Abby's seen me cry enough, so I'm not worried about, and I'm not ashamed to cry in front of her, but it was a life lesson that I could give to her that hopefully she never experiences in her life. So be vulnerable, or be willing to be vulnerable. It opens us up to the power of the Spirit, because He's the one that works mightily within our lives. As we say, God, I can't handle this. I don't know this situation. I don't know how to respond. But I don't want to fail the test that You are obviously bringing me into. I want to pass that test. I want to glorify God. I don't want to stumble. I don't want to be a stumbling block for somebody else. So be prepared. We have the tools. We have the resources. We got the Spirit of God that stays within us 24/7. We got the Word of God that's written for us. But it's also something that we can hide into our hearts. And as we go through these things, He brings back these scriptures into our memory so that we can apply them appropriately and then live a prosperous life for Him. And hopefully that's a help to you. Yes, sir. The only way I would maybe tweak that a little bit would be that in weakness is either going to make you more fleshly, or it's going to make you more dependent upon the Spirit. So all of us are weak because we can't save ourselves, we can't keep ourselves saved or anything like that. So that's why I use the word vulnerable, because I want to be vulnerable basically at all times. I want to be weak at all times, not meaning that I'm making myself open to temptation, but that I'm keeping my focus on the Lord. So in other words, He's our armor, He's our strength, He's the one that's going to help us pass these tests. So that's the way I look at it, in that I want to be weak because no glory comes to me, because there's nothing that I can do about it. So when I am vulnerable, and hopefully it's a state of being in vulnerability, then He's going to show Himself strong through all of these situations. So it's not that I'm saying open yourself up to temptation and see what God does with that. I'm saying that I'm weak, I'm going through these things, and God has to show Himself strong. But if I'm not appropriating and being prepared with the things that we just talked about this morning, then that's going to be an issue with temptation, and then I'm probably going to fall into sin. Does that make sense? But Yeah, but you're coming at it from two different angles. Like mine would be, Paul would say that he was weak, so that's vulnerable. But God told him, you are weak, but in your weakness, I'm shown strong. I'm made strong. So God gets all the glory from that. That's why he chooses the weak things, the base things, the unpopular things, whatever it is, so that at the end, nobody can glory in themselves. They can glory in God. So that's where I'm coming from with the vulnerability, is that all of us are going to be going through situations that we can't handle. No matter how much preparing we think we are, we're putting on the full armor of God, we're walking in the faith, trying to be filled with the Spirit and all of that. But at the end of the day, we're going to be shown that we are weak, but God is strong and He's faithful. So that's where I'm coming at. I'm not saying that we just open ourselves up to any temptation from the world or anything like that. But we have to keep ourselves in perspective. I, as a believer, even though I'm saved, I'm sanctified, I've got every spiritual blessing in heavenly places, I'm still weak in and of myself. So that's where it's coming from. In these vulnerable situations, where are my eyes focused at? Because the test is there and the temptation is there. If I'm not focused on what God has given me, then I'm going to go right to the temptation and give in to the temptation. Does that make sense?
I don't want to take away from what you said because I agree 100% with what you said. Okay, I appreciate everything you brought out. It's just the terminology itself, the vulnerability, can be very dangerous thing.
It almost seems like vulnerability is kind of a really strong word to use in regards to religion. It's like it doesn't have a connotation of other things that. Is simply instead of relying on the Lord, realizing the weakness that you're holding on to the same as the weapon. It just seems like a really strong word to use in regards to the preaching, where Paul might be taking things, but he doesn't seem to be vulnerable.
It does, and I could have used weakness and it still would have been synonymous with it, but vulnerability, I think, like you said, it is a harsh word. It brings the point home. So it still means exactly the same thing. I mean, if you go to the dictionary, it means weakness. That's all it means. It doesn't mean... I was very careful with the slides and stuff to make sure that we're coming at it from a biblical point of view. I don't really care what the world's going to define it as or how they picture it to be. It's how we do. And it's exactly like both of you said, the weakness is I'm weak, but he is strong. Keep my hand and keep me going. That's the entire point of it. But you have to be willing to not say, I'm so strong in the Lord that when I go through things, I'm going to pass the test every single time. So that's the pride issue that we're trying to handle and say, somebody's falling apart. It doesn't mean that they're failing the test or they're giving in to temptation. It just means that they're going through something that I haven't experienced. So that's the point I'm trying to drive home, is that be open, be vulnerable. Samantha wrote it down on a piece of paper and showed it to me. Being sensitive, and what was the other part? And transparent. So that's what we're doing this morning, is being vulnerable. I'm telling you what happened to me a few weeks ago, that I am weak. I'm susceptible to every single temptation that every single one in this room goes to, but where's the focus going to be? And as we go through these times of weakness that are stronger than what we're our general weakness as a believer, there's going to be points where we're even weaker than we normally are. And it's in those moments when we are really tempted, and that's when God's really going to show himself strong. So I'm of the persuasion of the understanding is that I want to be weak. I want to be vulnerable. If I'm walking down a street that's dark and I don't know who's in the shadows, I want to be as weak as I can and see God protecting me with his holy angels or whatever it is. So that's making yourself as vulnerable as you can, as weak as you can, because God's the one that's going to do it in our lives. What happened to me a few weeks ago, that's nothing but God, because I was getting ready to shoot her a message back and encourage her and give her biblical counsel and all of that, and I know exactly what would have happened. She would have kept on trying to respond back to me, and anybody that knows me, if somebody is asking me a biblical question, I want to answer it. And that would have continued the conversations, and then before I know it, temptation would have been right there. And I'm not saying that I would have given in to the temptation, but the temptation would have become stronger. So I want to be weak. I want to be vulnerable for y'all so that y'all can see what happens in a real-life Christian's life. We don't really talk to each other. We don't really say what's going on in our lives. So how do we know if we're seeing God showing himself strong or not? If we're not talking to each other, if we're not being open with each other. A lot of times that's not going to happen. We can look at somebody, we can say, well, that person they're on cloud nine. They just look like a true believer. They're not going through anything. If they are going through anything, they're not giving in to sin. They're winning the battle. But we have no clue what's going on in their home life. We don't know what's going through their minds on a 24/7 basis because we're not talking to each other. So that's more the vulnerability part that I'm talking about. I'm weak. Very easily, it could have been Samantha here this morning, and I'm down in Charlotte with that girl. That's where it could have ended up being. It's not. I never wanted that in any way, shape, or form, but it could have happened. But God's the one that does these things. So hopefully there's no confusion on that. Vulnerability means weakness. I mean, we can go to the dictionary, and we can go to the verses that talk about that. Paul made sure that everybody knew that he was weak in the flesh, but he was strong in the Lord. But it was because he kept his hand in his. There's a song that talks about that, talking about putting your hand in the hand of the... I don't know. Anyway. So hopefully that helps you, and we clarify whatever. All right, let's close in prayer. Well, Father, we just thank you this morning that your word is true, that you're faithful, that your spirit... it's not just with a believer, but your spirit indwells the believer. It's like we have an eternal power source that just shows us that we can depend on you for every single thing in every single situation. We just thank you that you've made it to where we can be prepared for whatever comes in our lives, that we can walk by faith no matter what, that we can keep our eyes on you no matter what. It's been mentioned this morning about our hand being in your hand and you're walking with us. But we even think about those moments of true weakness where we feel like we're hopeless. We feel like there's no end to whatever it is that we're going through. It's in those moments that you don't just walk with us hand in hand, but you pick us up and you carry us. So we are weak, we are feeble, but we think about the scriptures that talk about we are strong in the Lord. So help us to keep our eyes, to keep our minds, to keep our hearts focused on you, to stay in your word as continually as we can, to trust you every step of the way, and to know that we are victorious in the Lord Jesus Christ, that because of you and your strength, we can pass whatever test it is that you bring before us, and because of you and your strength, we can stand against the temptation that comes against us no matter what. We praise you and we love you in Christ's name. Amen.